Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Power. I am so looking forward to chatting with our guest this afternoon, Mark Nepo, who is on the line with me right now, because his book, Facing the Lion, Being the Lion, it's finding inner courage where it lives. Mark, I just am so glad to have you on the show today. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
This has so much wisdom in it, your book, Facing the Lion, Being the Lion, that when I read through it, my highlighter, and my listeners hear me say this all the time, my highlighter just went ballistic. It's like, yes, I want this one. I'll take this. This is good. I like this one. Oh, my, look at this other one I found. It was just so full of richness and insight, and you wrote it from a positioning where someone, when they read it, it becomes a part of them, which I think is a very special gift for a writer.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I appreciate that very much.
Well, you are a man who has been involved with writing of poetry. You have been an advocate of studying philosophy. You have been a teacher of poetry and spirituality for a good portion of your life.
Yes.
You were nominated for the Lenore Marshall Poetry Prize. You have written a number of books. You have been in numerous anthologies. You taught for 18 years at the State University of New York at Albany. You now are a program officer for the Fetzer Institute in Kalamazoo, Michigan, which is a non-profit organization that is devoted to fostering awareness of the power of love and forgiveness in the emerging global community. And you travel all over the place. You're a man who has chosen a path that I think some people would say, I envy you. This is so easy. But
well,
it really isn't, is it?
Well, yeah, and I think that more than, you know, the path chose me. I think that, as you know from my work, I'm also a cancer survivor, 20 years now, thank God. And you know, that so changed everything for me. I mean, it happened to be cancer for me, but it can be anything really for anyone. That really opened me to a place where, you know, when I was young, like many people, I was working so hard to find what is my uniqueness, what is it that I especially do well, or how do I distinguish myself? And, you know, I tripped, as most people do, through suffering and love and misunderstanding and where life leads you, into the other side, where the essence of living is really about what we have in common, not how we're different, and finding the strength and community in that. That actually, you know, when I can lean into and listen to you and hear who you are, and you in turn can do that, and the mystery appears by which I'm more who I am and I'm not alone.
That is, I think, a very powerful statement, especially the last three words. I am not alone. That's four words, not three. I think that it is a big step to reach that. I know as a counselor, I encounter, and I have encountered, continue to encounter, people who are so afraid of being alone.
Well, and I think, Donna, that one of the things that's been a teacher for me, and all the traditions speak to this, that the thresholds, the doorways to the quandaries of living, most often are held in paradox, in the seeming tension of opposites, of things that on the surface don't go together, but we're challenged to hold that tension until somehow we see something else. And one of those is this, and you just alluded to it, is, you know, on the one hand, No one can live your life for you. No one can go through what you are called to go through, whether it's a great adventure or great pain or whatever life brings us, and no one can make it alone. And I think in my cancer journey, this really came home to me, and with the people who were kind enough to be there for me, it's like they could usher me, and really the metaphor for it was the operating doors. You know, they could usher me as far as they could, but they couldn't go beyond those doors with me.
Mm-hmm.
But love is they waited there till I came back. And I think that that turned into a metaphor for me for, you know, whatever it might be, if we're family or friends and you need to find out who you are, well, I can accompany you up to that door, and then you got to go by yourself. But part of the love and the friendship is, my commitment to be there when you come back.
Mm-hmm. And also the commitment to say, I want to hear what your journey was like.
Exactly.
I want to know what you went through. Will you share it with me? And the reason I bring that out is that I have a very special, a very, very dear friend that I've known for so many years. And I can remember how patient she would be with me and listening to whatever griefs or anxieties, frustrations, tears I would shed, whatever. And then I'd have to take a certain action, and then she'd say, okay, I want to know what happened. Tell me what you thought. What did you go through? How did you feel you could handle it? What made you come to that decision? And she would interrogate me, but you know what? It was a joy to be able to share it with her. Because
sure.
She said, I don't know where you got the strength, but thank you for sharing it with me, because who knows? I may need your information one day.
Well, and I think also in that is the felt experience that expression is healing.
Mm-hmm.
It is part of the medicine of life, you know, that I actually am really coming to believe that what is not expressed is depressed. And so that there's to really listen to each other and to be able to voice what we go through affirms the journey. You know, there's a one of the traditions, and this is in an African tradition, the Bushmen in Africa have this amazing, it's still going on today, but it's hundreds of years old, where if one Bushman has gone out to hunt or to travel or whatever, when they appear from the bush and are seen by someone in the tribe, that person points to them and goes, I see you.
Mm-hmm.
And the person returning kind of, you know, holds their arm up strongly and goes, I am here. And, you know, in a lot of ways, that's at the heart of all good therapy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the and good literature and good poetry is how to say that, to say, you know, when I say I am here and you can see me, or the reverse, helps me be here fully.
Yes. You have something you took from the Gnostic Gospels. I want to share it. If you bring out what is inside you will save you. If you fail to bring out what is inside you will destroy you. And that's from the Gnostic Gospels. That parallels what you have just expressed, and I really, really like that. I thought, too, of another part in your book. You said, this was stated by a fourth grader in Detroit, Michigan. Cameron Penny was the name of the child. I loved this. I thought, this is out of the mouths of babes, and this is fabulous. What a wise soul Cameron Penny is in fourth grade. If you are lucky in this life, a window will appear between two armies on a battlefield. Instead of seeing their enemies in the window, the soldiers see themselves as children. They stop fighting and go home and sleep. And when they wake up, the land is well again.
Isn't that amazing? And it
yes,
is so
true. Yes, we
need
a holograph of that kind. Thank you very much. Can we take it out to a few places in the world?
I'm sorry?
I said we need a hologram like this. Thank
absolutely.
You very much. Let's put it out in different parts of the world so everybody can go to sleep and wake up.
No, it's amazing, out of the mouths of babes. And I think it's true, you know, we go back to the Gnostic Gospels that you referred to there. And, you know, there is this real kind of ongoing challenge for each of us And I talk about it in another book of mine, The Exquisite Risk, about it's the friction of being visible in the world versus the friction of being invisible. That either way, being present has a cost. You know, if we bring out who we are, there is no way that we can please everyone. And inevitably, we will encounter difference.
Mm-hmm.
But the other side is if we suppress who we are and we don't bring it out, then we have inner conflict. And at least from my experience of my time on Earth, the cost of that is greater because it's corrosive. And that's the part of the Gnostic gospel that says if you keep that in, it will destroy you.
I think too many times, people, as they get into their maturing years, instead of seeing how they can have a legacy, this even goes for young people, but especially for those that are in what I describe as what should be the golden years of their lives, they are very much like what you've just described. And when their time comes to leave this experience, it's like everything's such a waste. I had no purpose. I had no value. And that's a sad thing to see.
It is, and actually that raises which I think that we are getting some enlightened folks on the scene, but how we really do not tap into the wisdom of our elders. And, you know, it really, I think this is some of the real angels who work in the hospice field or who care for people. We have more people living longer than ever before on Earth. And with that, there is a greater storehouse of wisdom, that because we minimize people who are older, we don't access that. I mean, to me, people who have journeyed, it's like they climb, and when they get to a certain amount of years, from those plateaus or summits, it's like what you said about what we've been through, asking, how often do we say, what do you see from up there?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what you're seeing this so far into life and this so close to death and the mystery. And we don't often encourage that wisdom to come out.
Oh, I agree. And I think it's wonderful when people are willing to have a conversation with someone, record it with their permission, of course, and letting them go through that journey. Too many times we don't give people the opportunity to talk about their journeys, and everyone's journey is significant. Good, bad, or indifferent, whatever the experiences might be, everyone's journey contributes to the whole, and we all have something to gain from it. We all have something to gain from listening to other people's journeys, but we have to listen, too. We have to listen and not have preconceived notions.
Yeah, I totally agree that listening is, in fact, that the next book that I'm working on, interestingly, is called 7,000 Ways to Listen.
Oh, boy, that'd take a long time to go through.
Well, it's not literally. I mean, the image comes from, I had a conversation with a very, very experienced linguist from Africa who was sharing with me that, with great excitement, that there are at least 7,000 known and active languages on Earth.
Oh, my, yes.
Is that amazing?
Yes, it is.
And really talking about them, like, you know, these are not standing still. It's like plants that grow and trees that grow. These things are growing and changing. And, I went home that night, and as I went to sleep with my wife and our dog who sleeps in the bed with us, a very spoiled yellow lab. And I listened to the lab breathing, and I could hear the wind briefly. And suddenly, in a very obvious moment, it occurred to me, well, my God, if there are 7,000 ways to speak, there have to be 7,000 ways to listen. And so it's a metaphor, just like, as we all know, the Eskimos have so many words for snow and
mm-hmm.
so many things. So it's really the next kind of investigation into the deep ways of listening to life and each other.
Facing the lion, being the lion. The lion has, for almost everyone, been a symbol of courage. It's such a majestic animal, and it's so appropriate for your book. The term courage, and you define it, says it's from the Latin. It literally means heart, and the original use of the word courage means to stand by one's core.
Mm.
And that gives a definition that I think is very appropriately associated with the lion. And you talk on so many different levels of courage and how it can demonstrate itself. And one of them that I really enjoyed was it takes courage to wait and let the fabric of the universe reveal itself, dissolves our own individual sense of ownership into a sense of guardianship over gifts that no one owns. Man, just to get that concept would take so much stress off of so many people. It would be incredible because we don't own a cotton-picking thing in this world.
That's the truth, Donna. That's the truth. And I think the thing that's so powerful, and again, many of the traditions, most of the traditions, speak to this at some level. And I offer a very powerful analogy to the body. You know, no one organ owns the blood. If it tried to, the body would die. The blood has to circulate, be cared for, cleansed, and shared by all the organs. And if we, you know, if we think that out and make the analogy that our humanity, you know, we are each an organ of this incredible, unseeable body that is life, love, giving, receiving, you know, the care, the compassion, that's the blood. That's the clear blood of life that is circulating between us, and no one owns it. If we try to hold on to it, a part of us dies.
Well, that's why so frequently when people have ailments, if physicians don't treat the mind, body, spirit of the individual, if they don't address the totality of the person, they get sicker.
Mm.
Many times they will miss. They are not able to get to the core of whatever the disruption or disorder might be if they just deal with one part, because it's all a part. Everything, like you said, is so integrated.
Yeah, it's integrated. And I think, you know, one of the things that was a humbling teacher for me during my cancer journey, and this particularly has made me feel a real kinship with Taoism, is the sense that health was really about like a fish finding the current of the stream and then the stream carries it. Health was really about surrendering and aligning with the whole fabric of the universe. So when the fish is swimming with the current, it, you know, it doesn't make sense to ask, well, how much of it is the strength of the fish swimming and how much of it is the current? For that moment, they're the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was the same kind of thing that all the traditions speak about. You know, they have different words for it, but basically they speak about health is when everything is joined, and illness is when things separate from the whole.
Mm-hmm. Saba, your dog, you have the most wonderful story in here about Saba. Tell us how she was able to teach you how to love what you feared most.
Well, I was, you know, at an early age, at a very early age, I was bitten. I think I was one. I don't really remember it, but I was bitten and scratched up by a Dalmatian that kind of got frightened, and I was the nearest thing. And throughout growing up in high school and actually into my adult life, I had a real phobia of dogs. Now, you know, it'd be much easier if I had a phobia of, you know, possums or something. I mean, dogs are everywhere. So I developed in college a sixth sense. I could hear the jingle of a chain, a street away, and I'd alter my route. Well, you know, finally, after my cancer journey, I was on vacation, and I was walking down a street in the Caribbean on St. Martin, the Isle of St. Martin. And I was so used to getting preparing to be afraid of dogs, that it suddenly occurred to me that, God, you know, I wonder if I'm still afraid. I mean, after being what I went through, I did this little experiment, and I walked by these very sleepy, non-threatening pack of dogs that were just on the street, and I was okay. And so after that, my loved ones conspired to get me a golden retriever puppy. And I did get a puppy, and I named her Saba, which was the neighboring island that you can see from St. Martin. And so when she was not even 7 weeks old, it was winter, and I was walking out in the snowy woods with a dear friend of mine, Paul. He was taking pictures, and this was the first time that Saba in her short life had ever run free off a leash. And it was pure joy. She was going everywhere. And she slid. I saw her. I can see it as I'm telling you now. She slid right into an iced over pond.
Mm-mm.
And as she went into the pond, I could see that she couldn't make it up. And I was in that pond, waist deep in ice water, without even thinking. I mean, I was in there in 2 seconds, wallet, pants, everything soaking. And I lifted her like a little sack of potatoes, threw her about 12 feet in the air, and she landed with a thud, shook herself off, and looked like, what happened? And we had to blow her with a hair dryer for 2 hours to get her warm and dry. And after that, we were bonded. That was it. And actually, you know, and she taught me how to be in nature. She taught me how to love what I feared. You know, I became so connected and attached to her. And actually, you know, as I look back on it, that moment, that's what I do with all of my art. You know, I get drawn into the deep and I throw what matters out, dry it off and hold it close to my heart and try to understand it.
Great way to live a life. Great way to live a life. You have a quote in here by Cicero, and I always have appreciated this man. I think as a Roman orator, he just is exceptional. But he wrote 6 Mistakes of Man, and you put that in your book, and I thought, this is really neat. 6 habits of thinking that keep us a prisoner of ever-shrinking patterns. So it tells you that people have been dealing with many issues for many centuries, and then some. The illusion that personal gain is made up of crushing others. The tendency to worry about things that cannot be changed or corrected, insisting that a thing is impossible because we cannot accomplish it, refusing to set aside trivial preferences, neglecting development and refinement of the mind, and not acquiring the habit of reading and study, and, last but not least, attempting to compel others to believe and live as we do. Those 6 mistakes of man, woman. Boy, if we're present in our thinking with just those 6, what a difference it would make in our own thinking. And again, how much less of a burden we would have upon our own backs of thinking and feeling.
Yeah,
and
I, absolutely. You know, and I think that's an important thing to lift up here is this is, again, as you said, it's evidence that the things we face have been going on for centuries. It's remarkable that someone like Cicero would come up with these things that everybody has to deal with. And part of, and the thing that I think is so humbling is it's not that all these things we're talking about are things that if someone is listening and saying, oh, man, I've got that, so that's bad. This is part of being human. And so much of the human journey is course correction. We will make these mistakes because we're human. It doesn't mean we're bad people, and it doesn't mean that we need to feel shame about them. It means that the art of living is recognizing when we get small and course correcting and enlarging. And then we will happen again. You know, Ramana Maharshi, the great Hindu sage, said, you know, the only difference once you're enlightened is that things are clear, is that you live without illusion, and you still basically trip over the garbage, you know.
Oh, yes.
And then you got to say, oh, that's right. And what was it that I was so clear about yesterday?
Mm-hmm. That's a very good analogy. It really is. Even though you can see clearly, somebody may throw garbage in your way because they don't like you not having garbage. They may do that. I really think that's a very good point. And I think of today's world, and I think of what we are bombarded with, and I find it so fascinating that when you look at history, regardless of where you go in history, what part of the world, whatever you might be investigating or researching, there is this patterning that if people do not believe as you do, they don't have a right to be where they are. And that's one of the things that I think America has stood for so many people around the world, that as individuals, we have the right to choose and be that individual we want to be. And it may be totally opposite of everybody around us, but we do have the right to be that.
And Donna, I think this goes back to adding to what we were saying about listening earlier, because we have been trained or gotten into the habit in our modern culture that it's one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's black or white, it's right or wrong, it's up or down, and that conversation is really habitualized into debate, persuasion, okay? And I think that the deepest true dialogue is the fact of welcoming all views. And this goes back to that sense of the courage to wait to see how they all go together.
Mm-hmm. And there can be a harmonic.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there was another old ancient sage that I love, was an early Chinese sage, Tseng Tan, was known as being a real curmudgeon. And he basically was one of these guys who was very short with his students. So all of his students, the story is that whatever question they would bring him, no matter how profound, he would listen, and then he'd go. He was really opposed to dualities and wanted to show how everything was one, and he would just say to them, whatever it was, he'd go, not two, one. Go figure it out. Not two, it's one. They're not opposites. They're not contradictions. Be with it until you see how it's one.
Fascinating. I also like the teacher John Kabat-Zinn.
Oh, I know John. He's a remarkable teacher.
It's just wonderful. If you're too convicted in your opinions or beliefs, perhaps you are a convict, imprisoned within the confines of your own understanding. Well, my goodness, Mark, time has just whizzed by. Your book, Facing the Lion, Being the Lion, I think conveys so much, and it has so much warmth in it. And I would say, again, different perspectives presented, that whenever someone would read it, and this is my bias from having done so, it allows you to sort of chew and digest easily thoughts and considerations that maybe you would not have given yourself permission to have, maybe because you didn't know it. But with your book, I think people have something that can be a good friend in their library.
Oh, thank you so much, Donna, and thank you for the wonderful work you do with your show.
Well, it is a pleasure to have you as a guest. Quickly, before we run out of time, what is your website that people can go to?
It's just marknepo.com,
Mark?
And you can find all my books there.
Ah, marknepo.com, and Mark, you're going to have to send me your next one.
I will.
All right.
Thanks so much, Donna.
You are welcome. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Facing the Lion, Being the Lion. Go to Mark Nepo's website, M-A-R-K, N like Nelly, E-P like Paul O.com. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-88.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyMD.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open. If you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight, hey, give me a buzz. I'd be delighted to chat with you. Now, by the way, if you're a first-time listener, all you need to know is, all you have to do is call in. I'd like your first name or your initial. After that, let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me about a question, anything that crosses your mind, and I will be happy to answer it for you. Also, I want to thank those of you that are sending me stories and different points of information. It's just been wonderful, and I am going to be sharing some of that material in the next few days that I have been getting. So again, if you want to be in touch with me via email, it's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, International, Donna@Delphi@International.com. The whole word, international, and yes, there are two I's back to back, and just send it along to me. I do want to make a comment, though. Some of you have been sending me requests for me to do a reading for you by email. I do not do readings by email. That I've never been able to do. So if you want to call into the show, fine, or if you would choose to meet with me via telephone or in person for a private session, that's fine. Call me at my office at 800-872-8852. I get so many emails. I have so many things that I'm doing. There's no way for me to just do a reading via email. And I also find it's not very, in my mind, it's not very effective, because when you have an interaction, a reading with me, frequently people find that there are different questions that come up for them. And I'm just not going to be able to sit there and do it via email. It's much faster, much more efficient, and much quicker when you can do it by phone. Well, if ever you're bored with your life, and don't forget, you can call in and chat with me, 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-815-9756, or our direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756, or 530-876-3222. I am absolutely amazed consistently at what people come up with in the way of information. And I have in front of me some information about animals and how their artwork is making buku dollars for various zoos and different organizations. And it's absolutely amazing. A turtle. The turtle's name is Koopa. He's a Gulf Coast turtle. He does custom paintings for buyers around the world. He's in Hartford, Connecticut, and they've been selling his artwork on eBay for hundreds of dollars. And apparently, there is at least one piece of his art in 50 states. It's incredible. I got more things to share with you about these animals with artistic zeal and enthusiasm. But let's go to our caller today, show you how it's done on the Donna Tebow Show. Welcome, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
I'm Nancy from Idaho.
Where are you in Idaho, Nancy?
Oh, gosh, clear up by Montana. It's real remote.
What's the name of your community?
You wouldn't know it if I told you.
Probably wouldn't, but what's the name of your community?
Oh, it's called Salmon.
Salmon?
Yeah, like the fish.
Like the fish. Well, that's okay, and it's okay if you're remote. That's fine. Because even though you're remote, dear, you're going to be able to have a wonderful, wonderful business of your own that's going to be possible because of someone that's going to have an idea or a concept, and they are going to want to put it into a, what I would say, an internet format of type. And you are going to be working with them on it, and eventually it is going to be producing a wonderful amount of income for you. You're quite an interesting gal, and even though you're in Idaho, there is going to be a relocation that's going to be coming up. Now, Salmon, Idaho is going to still play a part in your life. It's not like it's going to just totally bounce out of the picture. But I'm watching you, and I'm seeing you in an airport, and you're heading off for a metropolitan area. I'm wondering if it might be New York. And it surprises me, but I'm seeing you, I think it's New York. You are in New York. You're absolutely going to be fascinated with so much of what you see. But there are meetings going on. There are conversations going on. There's something here regarding exporting. And I don't think there's any importing. It's primarily for export. And then there's other conversations, and I'm seeing you coming to know a wonderful linking with different individuals. And it's like I'm seeing links on a chain necklace, and they go to all kinds of areas in the United States. And this is, and even around the world. And I'm just seeing you chuckling to yourself, sitting at a computer, and your computer is going to be extremely sophisticated because you'll have it at home, you'll be able to travel with it. So this is something that I think is evolving over the next 5 years because it's the level of technology that I am seeing you utilizing and its compatibility and ease of going anywhere. I think it's about 5 years from now. And I really think you're going to, one, feel very comfortable financially. And not that you've ever aspired to be a gazillionaire. That's not been your objective in life. But you really are a people person, and you're sort of an odd duck when it comes to the people around you. From the time you were a little girl, you didn't necessarily want to be a little bit facetious, quack like the other ducks. You said, no, I want to do it differently. And that's always sort of been a thorn in other people's side, but also in your own, and you can't figure out why you're that way. Well, you've come in with a different type of program, that's all, and it's not good and it's not bad. You're a delightful person, and I'm seeing you with friends that last for a lifetime, and I'm just looking at this wonderful creative side that you have. I want you to write, because you have some stories that I think are just marvelous. Some of them would bring tears, and others would just make people laugh and laugh and laugh because they can see themselves in them. And they say, I'm glad it's not me, but boy, can I relate. So you've got this wonderful communication capacity within yourself that I think is going to ensure your financial well-being for your life. It's just absolutely marvelous. What did you want to ask me about?
I don't have a question anymore, Donna.
You don't?
No. You kind of answered all of them. Thank you.
Hey, that's pretty cool. I like that. What kind of questions were you going to ask me?
Oh, about relationships and about, you know, I'm kind of feel like I've been in a holding pattern, like I'm waiting for something to come up that I'm not sure about, and I don't know if I'm doing, you know, was doing what I needed to do to make that come about. And I've been having a lot of things fall away in my life, so it's been a little painful. But I always know that that means that something new is coming up. And yet I didn't know, you know, what it entailed. I do, you know, I do have a lot of stories to share as far as books go, but I haven't felt that it was the time to sit down and do that yet. So,
well, don't worry about doing the book. Put the information in a computer.
Okay.
Just start putting in, and maybe have a catalog for Wild and Wacky and others for tears and,
okay,
you know, beers and this type of thing. And just go ahead and maybe just make it that kind of a simple category. But go ahead and put your stories.
Okay.
Write them out. Don't worry about rhyme or reason. Just put them down because it will come together.
So when you were saying about Sam in Idaho and that, you know, you didn't see me leaving here or anything, so it looks like maybe my marriage is going to be able to stay intact with all these changes.
I'll tell you what. Your marriage can be extremely healthy if you'll be true to yourself. Look at your spouse, love your spouse for who they are, and tell them to take a flying leap into outer space if they're not willing to accept you for your wacky indications.
Okay, sounds good.
Because I am seeing your husband sometimes looking at you and thinking, I know she's not from Venus, and I know she's not from Mars. I wonder if she came from Pluto. From some other part of the Milky Way. No, I think it came away from further than that.
Yeah, I think so.
And you just need to be able to laugh at it. Like,
yeah,
just like you're doing right now.
Okay.
Because he is never, ever going to totally understand you, and you don't want him to.
Okay.
How dull and boring you would be. And that's the reason the two of you were attracted to each other to begin with.
Yeah.
He's fiery, and he's, man, he's out there, and he's going to do, and he's going to conquer the world. I guarantee you, he will never conquer the world. You'll be the one writing the stories, and he's going to get madder than the blue blazes at you because he's going to say, how dare you put that out there? This is downright embarrassing. And you'll say, why? He said, because you're talking about me. No, I'm not. I'm talking about George down the street. Oh, is that what you did? Oh, really? Now, can I take notes? And you just need to have a good sense of humor. Stop taking him so seriously.
Okay.
He does enough of that on his own. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's just too straight.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Donna.
I've never met the guy. I know I'd like him immediately.
Yeah, he is very
likable. Because he's a true blue, but you're wild and wacky, and you are spontaneous, and that's what he loved about you.
Mm-hmm.
And you loved him because he was someone you could trust. Now, honor those qualities in yourselves and get on and be who you are.
Okay, sounds great, Donna. Thank you so much.
You are welcome, hon. Enjoy your life. You've got a good one. And let me know when your book comes out.
Okay, I will. Thank
All
you.
All right. Bye-bye. That's Nancy of Salmon, Idaho, and hey, you can give me a call and I'll chat with you too. This is Donna Siebel. Remember, I'm just an information resource, okay? That's what my skills are all about. There are things that I can see, but understand, you're a person that's going to empower yourself. Now, telephone number to call into is 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-815-9756 or 530-876. 3222. You know, you may have a talented turtle and you never knew it. You could make thousands of dollars, perhaps. Well, I know that Koopa is, and I was talking about Koopa before we got started talking with Nancy. You know, this wonderful turtle, and I've got his picture right in front of me. He doesn't do badly. I mean, he's better than Picasso as far as I'm concerned. And she's the person that's in charge of him, his owner is Kira. And she said, we make sure that he doesn't overdo it. He's permitted to paint no more than twice a week. I feel it's important he live like a turtle, not like an artist. And you know what? She's even taught this turtle how to take a shower to wash the paint off. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She said he really likes the post-bathing sessions, painting bathing sessions. More than $12,000 of Koopa's art has been donated to the Turtle Rescue Charity. You can go to their website, turtlekiss.com, turtlekiss.com. Well, we're going to take a break for just a moment. Don't you go away. Lots of good things to share. Come on back. Donna Siebel here, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. Back in a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious foods? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. I wanted to let you know about the guest that is going to be coming up on the show, and that is going to be tomorrow. We're going to be talking to Lillian Brummett. Trash talk. Yes, this is about ecology. And, of course, we all know how important it is to be aware of our environment. And we're becoming much more knowledgeable about how to recycle and how to be more friendly with the environment that we live in, so that we can enjoy better health, the planet can enjoy better health, and overall, we're going to move forward into a much richer life experience on all levels. Well, we're going to be talking to Lillian and find out about some things that we can do relative to that. And then All Rise is what we're going to be discussing on Friday with Richard Fuller. This is about the somebodies, the nobodies, and the politics of dignity. Profound book, a wonderful, wonderful interview that I know you will enjoy. The following week, we're going to be talking about career contentment. Jeff Garten is going to be my guest. Victory over ADHD, this is a mother's story. Deborah Merlin and how she was able to help her son. Crisis and opportunity, how do we deal with it? How do we turn a crisis into opportunity? John Eichert is going to give us that insight. United Symbolism of America, Dr. Bob Hieronymus is a man that has a passion for history. We're going to find out about the United Symbolism of America. And then Merle's Door, this is about a dog that is absolutely awesome. Ted Carasote is going to be my guest. Wonderful lineup of people. I'll have the information up about all the guests that will be coming up this coming month of May, which is tomorrow. Tomorrow is the first day of May, so you'll hear all about that. Meanwhile, if you want to give me a buzz today, here are the telephone numbers to call in to 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756 and 530-876-3222. Do you have sinus problems? Have you ever experienced sinus problems? I know I have. And they started developing for me many years ago when I was traveling over to the island of Oahu to do broadcasting and meet with clients. And I went over, I'd come back, I'd swear I had a cold. Well, years later, I learned I didn't have colds when I came back. I had sinus infections. I had irritations that just took the longest time to go away. Well, over the years, gradually, because of various points of information that came my way, I learned how this developed. Well, about 5 or 6 years ago, I was made aware of a very simple solution, and that was using saline. Yes, saline water, using that as a rinse in the sinuses. And it made such a tremendous difference. It was awesome. Well, guess what? That simple solution is being encouraged by medical professionals big time. 92% of patients in the United Kingdom and 85% to 98% in the United States are prescribed antibiotics for sinus infections, despite their ineffectiveness. How did they find out about this? Through studies. There was a British study led by a Dr. Williamson. And when we come back after I talk to this caller, I'll try to give you more information. If not, I'll finish it tomorrow. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Yes, hi. It's Donald in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Donald. Thank you for calling in. Okay, now the first thing that I'm looking at, Donald, is I'm getting the word patience, yet at the same time I'm getting that, I feel like you've got to move forward with action.
Yes.
So though I'm saying patience, it doesn't mean that you don't move forward with what you know you need to do. I think it's with the patience, the application means keep on moving forward and have the patience to understand that the results may be a while before you see them come into fruition. I watch you, and I'm just seeing you pulling a load of, what do I want to say, experience, of expectation, and you've had this diligence that I think is awesome that has gotten you to this point in your life, and a part of you is saying, I wonder if I should just give the whole thing up.
Absolutely.
My response is, no, don't do that. What you might want to do is figure out how you can distribute what it is that you're carrying in the way of knowledge and how you can more effectively present it and balance it so you're working with it in the right way where there's not so much stress and strain. I don't know if that's giving you enough clarity, but it's like you've got to redistribute, or maybe I should say reorganize presentation, and that will make a difference for you. You may need to get some feedback from someone that is in an arena that you would like to be a part of. They have an expertise. And you say, I have this idea. This is what I bring in the way of experience. What would you recommend that I do if I were to give a PowerPoint presentation? And this is just an example I'm giving you. And so they go, wow, let me see what you've got. And they'll say, well, if you were coming to me, I think I would make A, F, and take F and move it to B and move B to A. So there's just, it's not that anything that you have here is not valuable. It is just resculpting it.
Yes.
And then you'll find the balance that you need and you'll get the results you want. Am I making any sense to you?
You are.
I'm so glad. Now, by the way, this problem with the lower part of your back is not just from the back. It's as if your shoulders and your neck and even up into the jaw, I'm feeling a discomfort, is out of whack. You know what, Donald? I am almost out of time here. I want you to be able to ask your question. Could you call back in tomorrow?
Yes.
I would be delighted if you do that because I am out of time.
Okay.
All right?
I will. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you. Remind me
that we talked on the air.
Yes.
All right, Donald?
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for being there.
Okay.
This is Donna Siebel. I'm so sorry we're out of time today, but you know what? We're going to be back here tomorrow. We've got a wonderful guest. So don't forget, remember always, You're the master of your fate. You are the captain. You're the captain of your soul, not somebody else. You belong to you. But boy, I'm so glad you're a part of this universe. It makes it a delight to share it with you. Take care. We'll be back here, same time, same place, right here at VBSRadio.com. Donna Seabrook speaking. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Seabrook Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Seabrook Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day. You have been listening to The Donna Seabrook Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Seabrook Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.